Welcome into latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Ali Moreno. Later on in the show, we'll look back at Lyon's 1-0 victory over Juventus, but we'll start at the Santiago Bernabeu. Real Madrid taking on a Manchester City, a strange old starting 11 put out by City. We'll talk about that a little later on, but to the actual game, well, it'd be Isco would give Real Madrid the lead in the second half for a comedy of errors from City at the back. City, though, would get themselves back into the match, 12 minutes to go. Jesus with a header to make it 1-1. And then second half substitute Raheem Sterling brought down. City with a penalty. Kevin De Bruyne converts to make it 2-1. Sergio Ramos sent off late on. He'll, of course, be suspended for the second leg in which Manchester City will go in as big favourites. So many places then, boys, where we could start looking back at this game. But I just want overall, just an overview in general for the people who didn't see it. Yeah. Like, how would you take them through it?
I would take them through it by a conversation that a lot of people have had around Pep Guardiola, saying, does he try and overcomplicate things when he gets to the real big heavy stuff in the Champions League?
Yep.
And when we saw the lineup and we saw the game start, that's the first thing that came to me. You know, you've got, obviously, Fernandinho's on the bench, Sterling's on the bench, Aguero's on the bench. That was the big call.
Now, this is basically, when you give the starting 11 in, UEFA put it together as they expect it to be.
Yeah,
you can pretty much just ignore that grand thing, can't you?
Right, so you had Rodri and Gundogan in the middle. You had Bernardo Silva and Kevin De Bruyne as effectively the two strikers. And you had Mahrez in the right and Jesus in the left, who were effectively backing up Walker and Mendy.
Yeah.
So, at times it was a 4-6-0 because they had nobody through the middle. And saying that, even Real Madrid, with a natural striker, a lot of times they'd nobody through the middle because they didn't get people forward. Now, it's the kind of formation, if City had lost the game and it had gone badly, everybody would have sat. Every network worth of salt would have sat and gone through the coach like a dose of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult to do that when they were the better side and they won the game. But it was a strange one.
Why is Gabriel Jesus playing in that position? What does City get out of that?
Well, I suppose that you're saying and you're suggesting that you're going to get more defensive work from him than he's going to give you energy and activity down that side. To be quite honest with you, I am conflicted. Because every part of me is thinking, you know what? If they put out their best 11, their best players, their best striker, I'm thinking that Manchester City is so much better, from what we saw today, so much better than Real Madrid, that Manchester City wins this running away. However, I'm sure that people out there will say, but they went to Santiago Bernabeu. They scored two goals. They dominated the games. What is there to criticize? I suppose there isn't anything to criticize. But it just felt like Manchester City, and Pep Guardiola for that matter, maybe they got it right. But did they really? It's difficult. It really is difficult to explain when you see Gabriel Jesus playing as almost as a wing-back, left-back situation, tracking back the runs of Dani Carvajal. Because when we did see somebody going after Dani Carvajal, which Raheem Sterling did right away when he came off the bench, what did Dani Carvajal do? Well, he took him down for a penalty. When you had players in their actual positions, Manchester City were even better. This was right after Real Madrid had felt like, oh, they had momentum. Manchester City started playing again, started creating opportunities, started creating chances, and they go on and win the game.
There's a sense that this was a job well done,
mm-hmm.
but it could have been a job even better.
Right. Correct.
Because they were lame. And we know they haven't played particularly well of late. They were poor at Levante a few days ago. But Real Madrid were lame. And there's a sense that City were protective to an extent, but had gone for the jugular earlier, could have had three or four, maybe more. Now, the other side of the coin is they might say, well, we might leave Marseille open at the other end. But what I would say is, one, Real Madrid were there for the taking. And two, if you think this game's over, a team that can lose at home twice this season to Manchester United could certainly lose to Real Madrid.
Mm.
So it's not over. I felt there was more in this game for Manchester City because of Real Madrid's mediocrity.
I can also tell you, from the Manchester City perspective, that early on in the game, okay, you go with this formation and whatever is it that you were trying to achieve if you're Pep Guardiola, you were actually creating the opportunities because Real Madrid wasn't creating much of anything. And the feeling then became, is this another performance where Manchester City is creating chances, not taking advantage of the opportunities, you make a mistake in the back, now Real Madrid scores a goal and you're thinking to yourself, well, it's what we have seen from Manchester City over the last month. The turnaround, the attitude, the character, the personality of Manchester City, and really and truly, the level of player of Manchester City showed up towards the end of that match and really showcased the difference between Manchester City and Real Madrid. You want an overview? I'll give you an overview. Manchester City is simply better than Real Madrid right now. There is no question about it. There's no doubt about it. The best version of Manchester City is much better than the best version of Real Madrid.
But Real Madrid were nowhere near that best version today.
No, but even their best is not. And that's what I was saying in the last couple of days. And they almost shot themselves in the foot with a mistake. But it was going to come down to what City did defensively with the basic errors that was going to be the conductor for how the game panned out for them. They weren't great in the middle of the park. I suppose young Vinicius was arguably the best player. It was a very, I would say it was a very pedestrian performance. They got a little bit of a lift or a lot of a lift just after the goal when Fernandinho had to make a couple of blocks. But apart from that, City were toying with them. And I thought they could have done it a little bit more. But again, beware the wounded animal, right? For those that are going, well, City have just outplayed them. For the reasons that I mentioned earlier with City at home, they've shot themselves in the foot before. So they can't take this lightly. The one thing I saw that was interesting at the end was a player that didn't play. I saw Aguero on the pitch at the end, and he actually looked quite happy. Right. Now, some might say, well, of course he's happy, his team won. No, if you don't play inside, you're like, you don't want to play the biggest games. So I got to feel that because he never even got on the pitch, that Guardiola said to him, listen, barring a disaster, right, he's going to do a job for us, Jesus, running back and forward, up and down the flank, and you're going to be the man at home. It's the only thing I can think of. Otherwise, I don't think he'd have been on smiling and joking at the end of the game.
But what did Real Madrid do wrong?
It's what they've been doing the whole year. This is not... When you've watched Real Madrid play this whole year, this is the way they have played, in which sometimes they forfeit possession of the ball, sometimes they get behind of the ball, they have difficulties creating opportunities, they have difficulties creating chances.
This is their terrible Champions League record, by the way. Last six home matches, they've only won one of them.
Well, and what I can tell you is that when you have seen over the last 10 days, over the last couple of weeks, what Real Madrid has become, and it's a team that struggles to create opportunities, but the difference between now and what it was early on in the season is that they were keeping goals from happening against them, that defensively there was a structure, that defensively there was discipline, that there were no mistakes. Today there were mistakes. Today there was very little structure whenever Manchester City started moving the ball a little bit quicker and with a little bit of sharpness. Real Madrid has difficulties in 1v1 situations, outside of Vinicius, who in that team takes somebody on? Who breaks somebody down? And there were moments, even when Vinicius broke somebody down, that he got his head up and he's looking, who am I playing the ball to? So they get to a place on the field in the final third in which they get there easily through their possession, and then they have nothing else.
Is there an argument to say that City's tactics did that to them even more in that first half?
You can make that argument, but that argument will just play to and pander to whatever Pep Guardiola is trying to sell you. I can tell you that Real Madrid has looked like that against Levante. They have looked like that against Celta de Vigo. They have looked like that against other teams. And they started allowing goals in the Copa del Rey match against Real Sociedad, and it hasn't stopped. Every time after they have played that match, they've been vulnerable. And today, City showed how vulnerable they could be.
One of the problems for them, I felt coming into this game, and I feel it's an issue for them long term, and it's affecting Barcelona as well. They're trying to make change. Is the players getting older in the middle of the park? I know young Valverde was in there. He was in there for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, several reasons. One, he's a very good young player, but two, he can get about the park. We've seen the issue with Busquets and Rakitic at Barcelona. We're seeing it with Kroos on the bench for that reason, because he's a very good footballer. But that's one of the reasons on the bench. Casemiro and Modric just can't get about the field like they used to. And when you have the Rodris and the Gundogans and the Bruyne's floating about and the Bernardo Silvas and all these guys who can get to the second balls. So when you do get possession and it's dropping in the middle of the park, when they get there first, you're on the front foot again. And you're getting it into your strikers, you're getting it wide. And as a midfielder, when you're not picking those balls up, you're continually in a defensive situation. And that's kind of where Real Madrid are at the moment, because they're not... That three ball that I mentioned before Valverde was involved, Chris, Isco, Chris, Modric and Casemiro, when they were picking up the three Champions League titles, were bossing almost every game. They can't do that anymore, and that puts pressure on the rest of the team.
That old number seven was pretty good.
Well,
as well.
He was good.
It shows, doesn't it?
And that's what I wanted to get to, is that right now, when you're playing Real Madrid, and you're a good team, like Manchester City is a good team, there is no threat going the other way. You're not thinking, when you're in possession of the ball, hey, we better not lose the ball here because this guy can punish us over there. You're not thinking that way. They are not threatening you. And here's the other thing. You talked about the tactics of Guardiola and maybe that had something to do with the failures of Real Madrid today. If I'm Real Madrid and I'm thinking, Gabriel Jesus is defending over here, Riyad Mahrez is defending over there, if I really have truly talented attacking players, guys that can truly threaten, I'm going after Gabriel Jesus. I'm going after Riyad Mahrez.
So why didn't Zidane instigate that when we all saw it?
I don't, because I think he does fear what happens when he commits number four. Because he has seen what can happen when you say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to take a risk. They have been at their best this season, and they're most efficient, as they're most effective, when they've been conservative. And that's not quite the personality of Real Madrid.
Couple of calls, obviously, the Jesus goal.
Yeah, I knew it would be a bone of contention when I saw it live, because I saw the arms coming up. But the more I saw it, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, that could be certainly...
Because his hands were definitely on the back of Ramos.
I might be wrong, but when I saw it on the replays that came in, and they were pretty conclusive, I saw the arms coming up to a player going back in Ramos. Right. He was pedalling back the way, and I saw the arms coming up. What I didn't see was a push. If you watch Ramos's position as he's trying to win the header, he's still going back the way. Mm. If you push a player, he's going the other way. So I think for that reason, the contact, in my opinion, was just minimal and enough that they didn't want to ask the referee to go and look at the monitor.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
Ramos, meanwhile, getting the red card as well late on. Stevie, I'm sure, at home going, you know, I told you. Was that just taking one for the team? Like, the fact that Jesus was being one-on-one through? It wasn't a stupid Ramos red card.
I think it was just a natural reaction. Mm. You're desperately trying to get back in. A good player gets in front of you. A good striker sort of gets in front of you. And it's the natural for your arm to come up. There was no complaints from him. I think from City's perspective, they would have rather, you know, obviously, there'd have been no infringement.
Yeah.
And Jesus puts the ball in the back of the net. But obviously it was just outside, so it wasn't really... It wasn't really a big bonus for them getting what they got, apart from he'll be suspended.
Yeah. Given what the game was today and how it progressed and how it worked out and how we saw it unfold in front of us, the 2-1 result, this 2-1 loss by Real Madrid, is the best result they could have hoped for. Because Manchester City were that superior to Real Madrid. And so you watch the game, you're thinking, this is going to be even. Not quite. It wasn't even. Manchester City are just a better, far superior team to Real Madrid right now. Right. It may change, but right now, from what we saw and the evidence that was put in front of us, it's two teams on two different levels.
I'm going to go percentages, boys.
Oh, here you are. I'm good at this.
What percentage chance do you give Real Madrid of making it through?
Well, let me put it another way, right? If you're a City fan, you saw your team go to Man United, who, by the way, I'm not a patch on Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. You saw them go to Man United in the Carabao Cup. You saw them absolutely waste Man United, but it was only 3-1, I think.
Yes.
Then go back to the Etihad, lose the game, and were hanging on a little bit at the end, right? So what I'm saying is, if they can do it then, I would say, if you want percentages at the moment, 70-30.
70-30?
In City's favour. Because they've got a rick in them.
Yeah.
But I say 70-30. Well, thereabouts.
I go lower than that. It's 10% chance for Real Madrid.
90-10.
90-10. Or 10-90, however you want to put it.
Well, just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our podcast, which is available daily over on the website. You can also subscribe via Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, in the other Champions League game, bit of a surprise. Lyon beating Juventus by 1-0. Juventus not mustering a single shot on target. The only goal of the match came in the 31st minute. Toussaint making it 1-0 as we welcome Gab Marcotti to the show. Gab, what went wrong with Juventus?
They were simply terrible. I mean, throughout, especially in the first half, they played the ball at 2 miles an hour. They were incredibly predictable, building from the back. Maurizio Sarri came out after the game and he basically said exactly what I just told you and said, I don't know why we played way, way too slow. We were too predictable. And it's strange because in the training session the day before, we moved the ball quickly, we ran quickly, and today we were all just really slow. I don't know how I can get my players to play faster during games, which, brutally honest, I suppose, from his perspective.
But the problem is, Gab, that this isn't unique, is it? We've seen this in the past with Juventus. They haven't exactly been playing this scintillating, explosive, fast football.
No, that's the issue. And we haven't seen it, in fact, for much of this season, since Sarri came in. We didn't see much of it last year with Allegri either, but, you know, that was a different approach, a different style of play. And part of the reason Sarri was brought in was to do what he did for the first half of the year at Chelsea and what he did at Napoli before that. And it's all fine and good for Juventus, the way they did the other night through the president, Agnelli, to say, well, we're going to judge at the end of the year and we're to the top of the league and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is he's not doing what he was supposed to try to do. And whether it's down to him, whether it's the players, whether it just don't work, they need to figure it out because they cannot come out and play like this week in, week out. You get away with it here and there and say, yeah, against bad teams, but sooner or later it's going to come and bite you on the behind. And that was against Lyon. Imagine if they play somebody really, really good.
Gab, how much trouble could Sarri be in? Say they get knocked out by Lyon. Could they go before the end of the season? Because obviously the title race is nowhere near wrapped up at the moment.
No, I don't think there's any chance of Sarri going before the end of the season as things stand. They'd have to degenerate pretty badly. If he wins the league in his first year in charge, given how strong the competition has looked, you know, I think that they will definitely bring him back, even if they don't. But the screws are definitely turning on him, and I think there will be a bit of a backlash. Juve fans, don't forget, they were pretty comfortable, most of them, doing what they were doing before, you know, winning the league, being very comfortable sitting and defending and not conceding shots. The worrying thing against Lyon is not only did they not take any shots on goal, they conceded 11 shots from Lyon. So even though they played better in the second half, it's not as if they were sitting back there, you know, defending, and Lyon was just stuck playing in front of them the whole game, and they were sort of shepherding us towards a draw. No, they were under pressure, and they were conceding chances.
How do we explain this, boys? For such a big game, and we know how important the Champions League is for Juventus, to see this very slow, lethargic 90 minutes from them.
Because you can't switch on and off.
But in training, apparently, yesterday, they were great.
I saw lots of good training sessions over the years that didn't transmit into game performance. But it's not like it's a surprise, as Gab said. So you can't just switch it on and off. If you look at his time at Chelsea, he had success at the end and it did get better, but it was pedestrian for a long period. Now, he might say, well, yeah, but I didn't get much time there as well to implement what I wanted. It was my first season, which would be correct. What I would say is, at the two clubs he's been at since Napoli, he hasn't been able to recreate that footballing environment that he had at Napoli in the time frame that he's been at these clubs. And Juventus is a pretty unforgiving place for a team that doesn't get success. I mean, going out of the Champions League is one thing, but going out potentially to a team struggling league on is a different thing.
Give or take a few details, but Juventus right now, mirror image to what's going on at Barcelona in terms of a team that possesses the ball, passes the ball around, but it's very slow possession, very predictable possession. And very much like Barcelona, it's about whether Cristiano Ronaldo can come up with a goal or Lionel Messi can come up with a goal. They are dependent upon their superstars to create something for themselves, for others, cross the ball to themselves and score themselves. This is how Juventus looks like. A team that has been underwhelming throughout the course of the season, to the point to now you have to say, this is who they are. We can't now, we're getting to the beginning of March, trying to think, oh, well, no, they're going to turn it around. Right. They're going to turn it on. Here's where they make a difference. Here's where they pick it up. Here's where we start creating chances left and right. No, we're well advanced into the season. So maybe this is who they are. But if this is who they are, they have to find different ways of winning a game. It isn't just about the possession. Then become more pragmatic, become more effective, more efficient. But apparently that's not the way that Sarri wants to do things. What I would ask as well is, how is this any better than whatever you had going on with Allegri? People were passionate about getting rid of Allegri. Okay, Sarri comes in for the open attacking football. Is that happening? No, it isn't.
Late on, possible penalty. Ronaldo wants it in. Was that hands on him? Where do you stand?
I think it would have been soft. I mean, it wasn't a definitely a 100% no. But you could say maybe he made a little meal of it. It was definite contact.
Juventus still go through?
I think they'll go through.
Juventus still goes through. Yes, sir.
That's all to play for, though. It's going to be fascinating to see that second leg in Turin. Meanwhile, just a reminder, plenty of content over on our YouTube channel, including Extra Time. Be sure to check it out.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Bad news to Robert Lewandowski today. Confirmed he'll be out for 4 weeks. Obviously not particularly relevant when it comes to the Champions League, because they should be fighting against Chelsea in the first leg of the quarterfinal isn't until the start of April. But of course, when it comes to the Bundesliga and that fight to retain their title, it could be significant. Remember, they're just one clear of Leipzig, three of Borussia Dortmund. Gab Marcotti, how significant is this with regards to the title race?
I think it is a blow if you look at the upcoming fixtures. Lewandowski, not just with a goal, but with the two assists, showed that he's in tremendous form against Chelsea. And Leipzig are sitting there, lying in wait.
It's the problem, isn't it? Because it's so close and because of what we've seen and some big matches.
Well, they've got a player, an experienced player who's been playing better recently in Thomas Müller, who can fill the central role. I mean, he's not, hasn't got the instincts these days of a Lewandowski, but he can do that job with potentially somebody like Coutinho coming in to float in behind, who hasn't played well, but that is one option.
It's a huge miss. It is. We were talking about Lewandowski right now being, as we stand, head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of an out-of striker in the world. He is the best. No doubt about it. No question about it. And we have seen the performances coming into yesterday, and yesterday he was outstanding. Look, it's a huge miss, but if you were Bayern Munich, you should be able to win all of these games, regardless of whether Lewandowski is on the field or not.
Alan Craig, thank you very much. Thank you also to Gab Marcotti. More from us tomorrow, of course, Europa League. Till then, goodbye. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig and Ali are with me here in the studio. We've also got Gab Marcotti. Gab, I feel like I should start with you because you didn't join in our Real Madrid discussion on the show. So we'll give you a chance now. Is it over for Real Madrid?
No, I don't think it is over, because this is football and you got to go out and play the game. But obviously, it's all going to be uphill against Manchester City, although, you know, what we have seen, City at home, it could be a strange environment given also the European ban and the way the crowd feel about UEFA and the Champions League. But frankly, you know, you wouldn't give Real Madrid too many chances. But, you know, you still go out to play the game. I'll tell you what, Guardiola certainly isn't going to take anything for granted.
Craig said 30%. Ali said 10% when it comes to Real Madrid chances. What percentage says you, Gab Marcotti?
I think I'm going to be closer to Ali on this one, and say maybe 15%.
Waiting for
very scientific way of it.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
this is how we do it.
Yeah. Well, but as I said in the program, you lose twice.
Are you regretting saying 30% now?
No. Because if you, no, I'm not. Why did Real get 30%?
I don't know. I'm not thought you're going to start backtracking because Gab said 15 and the voice, I mean, someone like Gab Marconi
no,
makes
no,
that
no,
point.
No, but as I pointed out clearly in the show, and I know people don't always listen because they then tweet in something that you haven't said, if you can lose home twice this season to Manchester United, you can lose to Real Madrid, for sure. All right? That's all I'm saying. On a bad night at home.
Waiting for Stevie to comment on Ramos's red card.
Well, he's not
Nico
here.
Is off. No, he's off today, isn't he?
All right, he's off. We're on call. You know, sometimes when, a red card happens, the phone goes, Stevie wants to come in.
Red card for you, Gab. Yeah, the boy said it was.
Yeah, no question about it. And I'm sure the boys had a right go at him. They, 26 red cards in his career for Real Madrid, plus I think he has at least two for the Spanish national
but
team.
But out of all of them, this wasn't the stupidest, Gab.
No, maybe it wasn't the stupidest, but you know what? It still happened. You know, you have a goalkeeper like Courtois coming off his line. Why put yourself in that situation? Live to fight another day. Also, I might also add that I know there's VAR and all. That was awfully close.
I mean, line.
I know he's supposedly the master of the dark arts and everything. That was very, very close. A grumpy referee a different day. VAR sees it a bit differently. Jesus moves his body a different way, and that becomes a penalty. So, no, I don't understand how it can happen to you so many times in your career when you're one of the greatest center backs in history. And he is.
See when he's going through all these red cards? When he's retired, to his family and friends, do you think he's going, that one was stupid? That one, not so much so.
Crazy. I think there will be a digital segment this week on the top 10 stupidest Sergio Ramos red cards as by Craig Burley. I look forward to that.
I mean, I have to say, I've had the odd stupid one myself.
World Cup.
I haven't had that amount.
Does Craig still have PSG and Real Madrid as better Champions League favourites than Barca and Bayern? This is back of a digital segment you did where you did your top five European teams.
Well, and do we have that top five?
Well, yes, they went Liverpool, Real Madrid, Man City, PSG, Juventus.
Well, it doesn't really make sense because Real Madrid and City were playing each other.
Yes.
So I had one of them going through. That's why they were, obviously one of them's going to go through. So one of them was going to be favourites ahead. PSG. Are you going to ask me another question about the Champions League? I've got all the answers. Ask me what you want. I still think PSG will probably beat Dortmund.
But Bayern are a better team, aren't they, than PSG?
Well, they're a better team yesterday.
Yeah.
As I pointed out to you, though, I would say Dortmund are a better team than Chelsea at the moment.
Right.
And so, therefore, Bayern's task against Chelsea, as I try to point out to people, wasn't exactly toppling Liverpool.
Sure.
Toppling a team that are fighting to be fourth in the Champions League.
Juventus were fifth in your list ahead of Barcelona.
Yes, and I still think Juventus will go through.
Right. But are they a better team than Bayern?
Well, it's not a question if they're a better team than Bayern. What's all this massive... Bayern all of a sudden are now the greatest team in the history, are they gone for the Champions League, because they beat Chelsea at home, who have been beaten at home by teams like Bournemouth this season. So, I'm sorry, it's a little bit early to be all jumping on the Bayern ship.
And how long ago was this?
Right, I'll tell my top five. Liverpool.
Right.
I still think Liverpool will go through.
Right.
City and Real Madrid, one of them was always going to get knocked out.
Right.
Right, that's... So...
Gone.
Real Madrid
out.
City.
Right, City is second.
I still think PSG... So that's three teams.
Yeah.
I still think PSG will beat Dortmund. That's four.
No,
that's three.
That's three still.
Because Real Madrid are out.
Yeah. But Real Madrid are playing City.
Yes, but they can't be in the top five now, surely.
Right, so the top five are still going to be there. Liverpool will beat Atleti.
Yes.
City will probably beat Real.
Yes, okay.
PSG, I think we'll come back and beat Dortmund. That's three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I still think Juventus will come back at home and beat Lyon.
Right.
That's four.
Right.
Right. I could only ever get four.
because Real Madrid and City.
I could only ever get four because two of the teams were playing each other. Work it out before you send tweets in. I could only ever get four out of five, and I still think I'm going to get four out of five.
Right.
Mark my words.
The pick wasn't who's going to go through to the next round.
Well, the pick is who the favourites are.
Well, yeah,
the
but you haven't got Bayern.
Bayern Munich are not all of a sudden favourites because they beat a pretty inexperienced Chelsea side.
And you haven't even mentioned Atalanta.
That had a, had a transfer ban and lost the best player. Right.
Oh, dear.
I think back to me on this Bayern stuff when they're lifting the trophy in Istanbul. Thank God I'm not going to that now.
Oh, dear. Gab.
You've already made the decision. You're not going to
say something. Yeah, I was asked to go. I was told he was going, and I said no. Sorry, Gab.
Gab?
I'm kind of with Craig on Bayern here a little bit in the sense that I think what we've seen here is because... And look, I live in London, right? So I'm exposed to the English media day and night. Because the Bundesliga has their winter break, and because it's the Bundesliga, and because everybody seemed to have forgotten, you know, but what Bayern did in the knockout stage, all of a sudden they thought it was going to be some sort of bedraggled Bayern because, look, they changed their coach and they're taking on Chelsea. All of a sudden... You know, they steamroller Chelsea, and then all of a sudden they're God's gift to football again. This was a good Bayern team before. It has been a really good Bayern team, I think, for the past month. But by the same token, I wasn't on the show last night. I don't know what you guys made of Lampard's team selection, but to choose the exact same 11 that worked so well against Spurs, thinking it was going to work so well against Bayern, who play an entirely different type of football and have totally different types of players... was a serious mistake. Maybe one of the worst mistakes that he's made since becoming Chelsea manager.
Well, maybe you should watch the show and then you'll find out. Right, let's go on.
Not this year.
As I pointed out last night...
Oh, hello.
As I pointed out last night, just briefly... As I pointed out last night, just
yes.
briefly... Yes. By the way, Bayern were excellent, right? But last year, Bayern played a very good Premier League team and were knocked out.
Yes.
Comfortably.
Yeah. Who won the title?
This year, they played not a struggling, but they played a poorer Premier League team who have had issues and were comfortable victors. It's really not difficult to understand. And I stick with my five, which will be four because two of them are playing each other.
Yes.
Not difficult to understand.
Well, you have repeated yourself a few times.
It's Kevin. See, I've always got the answer. Always have the answer, son.
Is Kevin
up there for thinking, down there for dancing. All right.
Is Kevin De Bruyne the world's third best player?
Or fourth, fifth, sixth, I don't know. Right. Dear God.
I would just say that he is the best two-way midfielder there is in the world. No doubt about it.
What about
it.
The
no
third best player?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
Who would you have?
Say Kylian Mbappe.
Gab.
No. You can choose who you like. You can choose Kylian Mbappe in there if you want to. If you want to expand it out to people who play different positions, you might say Virgil van Dijk. You might say Alisson. He's pretty good.
Lewandowski.
There's a number of very good players. Robert Lewandowski is fairly useful as well. Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, not a bad goalkeeper. I don't understand. On the back of a game against Real Madrid, all of a sudden, he's the third best player in the world. He's an exceptional midfielder. That's what he is. And there was maybe 2-3 years ago, he had that incredible season. Maybe he would have been in the conversation. But, right, is he the third best player in the world? No, I don't think so.
It's the trouble with all these Ballon d'Ors and stuff, isn't it? Trouble with all these Ballon d'Ors and these awards is giving people... It's not the worst question ever, but it's giving people the thirst.
Yes. But it's not unique to our sport. It's for everyone.
Like, where does he lie in the pantheon?
But that's not just in soccer, is it? It's everywhere. But there's only a Ballon d'Or.
Just ask him to give you a
there's
ranking.
There's only a Ballon d'Or in soccer, isn't
How many times do you hear this chat in the NFL?
Every day. Is Tom Brady the greatest ever? Where does he rank?
Yes! Who's the third?
Exactly! Right.
Oh,
final
God.
One. It's a good question. Which underdog will keep...
Is it about Bayern Munich? Is it about my top five?
Which underdog will keep their first leg advantage for an upset in the second leg? Who's more likely, Lyon, Dortmund or Atleti? Ooh. Ooh. Gab.
Ooh, sorry.
Well, I was going to say Atalanta, but, I suppose people should
come on, it's Valencia.
But they're winning. Sorry, they're all winning anyway. I'll get my coat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but they're winning comfortably, Gab.
All right.
I think Dortmund have the best shot simply because, you know, Paris Saint-Germain is simply a cluster mess right now. Mm. They showed it again in that crazy game at the weekend. I still have Paris Saint-Germain going through, but honestly, that is a game I would not touch. Anything can happen.
Yep. Where do you go? Atletico. Three.
Hmm? I go. Even though probably they're playing against the best side, I go Atletico Madrid.
Really? Atletico three.
Primarily because they have the
Liverpool were top of your
yes of your list.
No, I don't think it'll happen, but I think it has the best chance. We mentioned Man City and Juventus. I could go through it all again, but I have to go home and deal with my daughter. I don't mean deal with her, but maybe I do. Where was I? Athletic. I don't think it will happen, but I think they've got the makeup for it potentially to happen. Don't ask a question if you don't want an answer.
Well, I did, but you already gave it to me. And then you
I
went
know
off.
I'm a little bum. Just
you went off on some tangent.
Value for money today.
Okay.
Value for money.
Who cares?
Borussia Dortmund.
Borussia Dortmund. Because
yeah, PSG's the house on fire. Yep. Right now.
All right, then, that is it. Craig is off tomorrow.
What about a list?
What
is he going to
do
tomorrow? A list?
You're bored in the mornings. What are you going to do the afternoon?
Well, I'm not going to redo my list because I'm super confident about that.
Yeah, that's
I'm bored. There's no golf at the moment. I'm thinking of moving to Scottsdale.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Florida.
Well, maybe we can get come some on, sort of GoFundMe going.
I can come on the
no,
camera.
No, it'll be fine. Don't worry.
Like what LaBeouf and Gab do. LaBeouf's camera went down again tonight. That was a shame.
That's it.
So well, I could do that. Then I don't have to deal with you every day. I can just say, I'm not coming on today.
How wonderful. Stevie will be back tomorrow then.
A man that doesn't know what day of the week it is.
He really doesn't. Or month, or year.